Mr. Sacco, rail 9. You had you leave in Cairo,
yes.
And then came back obviously to Kazakhstan. What happened next?
Can't remember much.
Do you recall moving up into Palestine?
Oh yes.
Tel Aviv, that area.
Yes, into Palestine. Yeah. And we were in Palestine, and I'm trying to think.
Do you remember any problems with the civilians that you were called out to?
No.
As a signal, you may not have been involved, of course.
But I think I spent very little time, because I think I broke my leg the first week. Broke my ankle playing football, first minute. And I was in the hospital in Sarofan, that's in what's Israel now, near Tel Aviv. And I spent, and out there, your bones take a long time to heal. And I was in that hospital for about 10 weeks. And Preston came in to see me while I was there. We had a little chat. And then, what happened?
Do you recall what the chat was about that he had with you?
Well, I was reading a book and it was telling me about one of Collins is what was it? Yeah, I'm beef for words.
But anyway, he arrived at the bed of.
Yes, and I was reading this book and it was telling about Lieutenant. He was a lieutenant then, Collins, and I can't think of the word. A raid, he went on a, what's the word? Not an attack, you know, it was just when a few go on a...
reconnaissance, was it? Or
yeah, and he captured...
patrol kind of thing?
Yeah, and he captured him and his, what, a section or something, captured these Germans, you know. And I was happy to be... I was reading this book about this, what had happened during the war, and I come across it. Didn't mention any names, though, of the officers, but it was exactly the same. So when Colonel Preston come along, like I showed in the book, you know, and he was very interested. And he had a higher rank and a brigadier or something with him, you know. And he was chatting about Collins, you know, the bedside. Yeah.
Was this a military hospital?
Oh, yes. Well, I think it was.
Did they treat you okay, or did you have to stand to attention or lie to attention?
Oh, no. I was all right. But as soon as I was able to get out of bed, I had this thing on my foot, you know. I had to help the nurses, you know. Just helping them. I was doing more work for them, you know. And... eventually the battalion were going back to wherever, would be Italy, I suppose. Yes, it was Italy.
And they went back at the end of June.
And they came around the hospital looking for anybody that could walk. And I was considered fit enough. Like, I was glad, actually, you know. And, but for the first month of that, you know, being in bed all the time, and this ankle, you had a right job keeping up with the rest of them, which it was not like me at all, like, you know, till I got kind of fit again, you know.
Preston left the battalion in mid-June, and Worrell took over.
That's right.
Who was being a second in command from coming over.
Mm-hmm.
What was he like as a commanding officer? Same type as Preston, or different personality?
Oh yeah, I rather liked them. I didn't like them as much as Preston. I felt more of Preston than I did of Wardle. But it was okay, you know.
So you returned with the battalion to Italy at the end of June, beginning of July.
Yeah.
What happened after you'd landed in Italy?
Well, that's when we went into the Gothic Line, wasn't it?
Yes, you ultimately went through Italy and up into the Gothic Line.
Yeah, Germano was a real hot one, that was.
And the Germans were in a very powerful position.
Oh, they were, yes, that's right, yeah.
It must have been quite disappointing to find yourself returning to Italy yet again.
No, not really, no. Oh yeah, well, as I say, Germano getting really heavily shelled all the time, you know, and you couldn't move. And we made several section attacks. I don't think we were the biggest company attacks. And finally, I don't know whether we captured it or being withdrawn before someone else captured it. I just can't remember exactly.
But the enemy fought quite fiercely for this.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Really getting shelled, really nasty. You know. And I went up to actually into the monastery, the way kind of monastery it was at the top of Germano. And it was really nasty. I remember going through like a kind of hole in the wall. There's a big wall around this place, and stepping over a lot of dead Germans, which had obviously been killed by our shells. You know, I remember some really big Germans lying there, all dead. Like, but
and you suffered a lot of casualties yourselves under this shelling and mortaring.
Oh, we had quite a few. I couldn't tell you exactly how many. I'm just trying to think what happened there after we got up to Germano.
Any stories that you particularly remember of personnel involvement or yourself?
No, I remember sitting forward in this kind of, it was a very strong building and looking out to the enemy, you know, and they were crashing the shells, and the walls were very thick, you know. And any time I thought these shells was going to come through, because the noise, they were right just where we were, you know. That's all I can remember of that. I'm trying to remember whether we were withdrawn or what in the end, and gone on rest after Germano. I just remember being right on the top where the really shelling was.
Have no other memories of the Germano?
No.
After that, where did you go?
I can't remember. Have you got anything down there?
Right Marecce, does that?
The Marecce, yeah.
Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, we crossed it. It must have been a very shallow part, you know, because it was supposed to be a really difficult river. It was a very wide river, but we didn't get very wet at all, actually. Well, we didn't get up the hill or anything on it. We got across the Marecce, and then we got into the off the bank and into the grass. And I think we were, I think Major Hay had us then. Yeah, I think he was in charge for some reason. And I'm trying to think of the place just on the other side of the village or town we went into.
Do you remember a place called Canonice?
No.
that you'd been sent on leave. I was going to ask you about leave because you'd been, well, all of you had been in action quite a long time by now, and then, of course, to Egypt. You said you went to
Rome.
Rome for your leave. What are your memories of being in Rome in wartime?
That was all right. We were in, the Vatican, and we went to the catacombs, and then that was the time when the Germans killed those in the Ardeaton caves, you know. Well, this Irish priest was showing us around the Vatican first, then he took us to the catacombs, and I saw, it must have been, 10 minutes later, I'm standing outside the catacombs and I see all these women coming up all dressed in black. And I said to the Irish priest, I said, must have been a funeral, something down there. Oh, he said, I'll tell you what, it's the Ardeaton Caves. We'll go down, I'll show you. That's when the Germans shot 350 Italians. Of course, prior to that, the Italian partisans had ambushed this train full of bus full of Germans, killed about 35, and I think they took 10 Italians for every German. And they took us right around. And, you know, showing you all the photographs of the people. Oh, was that the same? I don't think you saw the photographs. But it was, oh yes, and this Catholic priest, the Germans blew up, caused an explosion which would seal the entrance up to the Ardeaton caves, but the explosion also knocked a hole in the top. So this Italian priest went to see if he could do anything for the if anyone was still alive, and apparently they shot him as well, you know. So
it was quite a massacre.
Well, it was a massacre, yeah.
Were the people of Rome, the Italians, were they quite settled now and pleased that the British and the Americans were there?
Oh, well, we got on very well with them, you know, no bother.
Did you get to see the Pope?
Oh, yes, Pope Pius XII it was. You know, he talked in about 3 or 4 different languages. There was all Polish, Italian, all different nationalities there. And he spoke in all those different languages. Then he had to go around in a circle and he had his hand out with his ring and they kiss his ring, you know, and then right around like that.
After the leave, where did you rejoin the battalion?
I think it was just after Cesena. I don't know. I wouldn't know the name. Can't remember the name of the place.
Cesena was a big town.
It was quite a nice big town. Yeah. The deal I beat the. Who was it? The. I don't know. Was it South Africa or some other country? The foot slogan down a line injury beat them. These others into Cesena. I'm trying to think who the others were now.
Did you take?
Oh, the Canadians, the Canadian Armoured Corps. That's right.
Did you take part? Did you enter the town or yourself? Were you part of that advance into the town?
What
in? Yourself into Cesena.
Oh yes. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Had the Germans gone or left anyone behind to hold you up or try to hold you up?
No, it was cleared, you know. Didn't see any Germans.
What's your next memory?
Well, all I remember about that is told to leave our positions, and I don't know where it was, right up in northern Italy. much about a mile, and these trucks were waiting for us, and we just drove all the way to Rome, and got to Rome, and what happened then? Well, they decked us out with all new gear, underwear, and different things, you know, and we thought, well, you know, what's going on, you know? Different ones going home, and going home, and this, and that, and nobody. Then we had a breakfast, and then we were driven to the airport, and these Dakotas were waiting for us, and I think there's about, I don't know how many got a Dakota, 20 or 30 men to a Dakota, and next thing we'd landed in Greece.
Had they told you that you were going to Greece?
No, they didn't tell us. We were saying that.
Pulled out of the line and then...
spent a night in Rome and arrived in Greece.
And this was November 44 time.
Yeah.
And the winter weather was again, had come round again in Italy itself.
Yeah, that's right.
What are your memories of arriving in Greece?
Well, we were told there was, I don't know, the communists or what were walking around with guns, you know. And you would try and ask them if they would give me a gun. If they said no, just carry on, you know. Don't attempt to drag it from them. They said there's a lot of troublemakers, the communists in the place. So ask them politely, can I have your gun? If they say no, then just leave it. So we'd been in Greece about 2 days, and we were in this big mill. Then order came around, get dressed in your best khaki, get everything polished up. Then we got on trucks and went to Athens. Then we put about three of us on each corner, looking as smart and as tough as we could. But there was nothing happening. The streets were deserted, you know. And so in the end, they said, right, back on the trucks. So we got back on the trucks, come off the main street of Athens and come down like this. Then turn right. This is on our way back to the billets, you see. When there was a crowd of people there, and we pulled up. Next thing I knew, Captain Casey, or Major Casey, he got out and he demanded this gun from this chap. Give me that gun. And this chap started screaming. As soon as he started screaming, all the crowds came round. And we just got round the corner, and there was this window up above the first story. That window went up, and there's this man sitting with a great, you know, the old type of Vickers machine gun, with a man on either side of him. And he was screaming at us. And we were in the back of this truck. We were only about 20 yards away. And he's got the gun on us, you know. And we were shouting, give him his pistol back! In case he didn't want to look amazing, in case he didn't want to lose face, and they were arguing. I thought, well, I'm not going to sit and take it. There was only about four or five of us in the back of the truck. So I got out of that back of that 3-tonner in slow motion. You never said, no hasty moves. And I got down off it. And there was a yard over there with the door recessed about, the gate recessed about that. And I was doing everything in slow motion. Then I got like where I was, like that. And it was really in the screen. In the end, I owe some bad language to Casey. Like, you know, give him his pistol back. And then he gave him the pistol back, and the crowd started cheering. But the one on either side, the man with the gun, they were begging him not to shoot, you know, because glad to get out of that. It was terrible.
The situation there was basically a communist group and the royalist group.
Yeah.
It must have been difficult identifying one from the other. Since they didn't.
But anyway, we decided on this dawn attack on, you know, all the different countries used to send supplies to Greece, you know, Red Cross and all that, you know. It was a big Red Cross building, and it was about a quarter of a mile square with a wall about that high.
About 3 foot, 4 foot.
Yeah, right round. We decided to attack it that morning, you know. So
was it held by this communist group?
Oh, yeah. There was about 100 and odd in there, you know. And what, anyway, we came, and the lads were getting over the top as well, and they were getting shot, you see. So in the end, we called a tank up, a Sherman tank, and it came and it knocked a hole in the wall so we could run through, you see. So we charged through, and we went through all of the different rooms and everything in the place. And what they'd done, what they couldn't eat, they'd jabbed and destroyed all the stuff in the place. The place stunk. Clothing was burned. And what they couldn't eat themselves, they ruined, you know. Anyhow, we got them out. We got the whole lot out, about 135 of them, and lined them all up, like, you know. And what was it? And then interpreter was this young Greek interpreter from Athens. He only had about 20, you know. They were glaring at him, like, you know, as if to say, well, this is over you for it, like, you know. And next thing I knew, he disappeared, and he did a bunk. Terrifying. Anyhow, we took the whole prisoner, about 135 of them, and we got them to the station, right aside, and put them all in train, and took them to the prison camp. It was really well done, that.
And you said you had casualties.
Oh, yeah, we had casualties, yeah. I mean, it was terrible getting killed like that after you've been through the war, you know.
Oh, that must have made you pretty angry. Oh, it did.
Oh, yeah.
Was there any mistreatment or maltreatment of the Greeks? You know, having that attitude of the civilians basically killing you.
No, the Greeks were very friendly. It was just these communists, you know, really. They used to go to these houses. They were pleased to see us, the Greeks, you know. They used to go into these houses and just take what they wanted out of it, you know.
And have any other memories of being in Athens or in Greece itself? Get involved in clearing houses and roadblocks.
Oh yes, we got. Oh, I had to do all that. Yeah.
Mm. And you're still with A Company as the signaller.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So these were still military operations.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But as I say, really nothing startling after we captured this 100 and odd communists, you know. There.
Did you stay in Athens, or were you moved outside?
I don't know whether we moved to Piraeus or not. That rings a bell.
Yeah. Civilians must have been hungry, and the Germans had just been chased out, in effect. The medical and food supplies must have been pretty low. Were you involved in giving those out that were coming in? You're saying supplies were coming in.
I'm lost off there now with Greece.
Christmas Day 1944, do you recall Alexander coming to talk to the battalion?
No, I don't remember him. Christmas Day? I can vaguely remember something about Alexandra coming. I don't know who else.
It isn't clear.
No.
But what What other memories have you got of being in Greece? Anywhere in Greece?
Well, I think I just visited the Acropolis and different things, and we found the people very nice, apart from the commies. And you couldn't pass a house without they invite you in, you know. They were really nice people. That's all I can say.
And you can't record any more instances of any stories of your time out there?
No.
So I obviously got on well with most of the people, with the exception of the communist element.
That's right. We went from Athens to Patras, that's right. There was some trouble broke out in Patras, but that didn't last long. Then we played a game of football against in a place called Aeon, and about 10,000 turned out to see us play. I was in the team that day, and we beat them 2-0, and had all out of pictures taken. Well, that was a lovely town, that one. And people were really friendly. They were glad to see us because they expected the guerrillas to come down from the hills and attack them, you see. Here you go.
Any other memories of your stay in Greece?
I think we finally came back to Athens. That's right. And we stayed there for about another 2 weeks. And then we were told we were going back to...
Yes, you returned to Italy.
That's right. And we got a big farewell and got presents from the locals and went down to the harbour Piraeus and sailed and landed, I think it'd be Taranto.
And back to Italy and therefore back to the line.
But,
I think this was around about April 45, would it be?
And I don't think anything happened then. I think the war was nearly over then, wasn't it?
You have no memories of what happened before the war finished. Actually, I think it finished as you were moving up.
That's right, and that's right.
And you'll just be travelling through Italy.
That's right, yeah.